Hi, my name is Ken. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ken!
Good-looking group, I'll tell you that. I'm real, real happy to be here. I want to thank everybody on the committee who got me here. And you know, who was in charge of the baskets for the rooms? Maya. I love you, Maya, wherever you are. Usually you go to places and they give you stuff that would kill you. Bananas, apples, oranges, you know. This time we had Oreo cookies and peanuts and... stuff that kind of makes the lint in your navel go crazy like. I want a banana, I'll go to the grocery store, you know. It's great being here. Thanks to all the committee, whoever you are. I mean, it takes a lot to put this thing on, I realize that. And, you know, there are a lot of weekends when I get an opportunity to go out and visit with folks somewhat like you. and I get a chance to listen to the other speakers who are there. And, you know, without adding anything to this, it's just the fact that this weekend, each and every one of the speakers, Peggy starting Friday night, and then Liz and Sally and Albert today, were right on where I'm at. You know, they're right on where I'm at. Now, I don't know whether that means we're all real sick or whether we all just somehow got to the same place at the same time. But I had one of those weeks. Father's Day is tomorrow, and this has been a real emotional week for me, and it's been like an emotional roller coaster for a couple of weeks. Father's Day was never one of my best days, never one of my best days. My own dad died on Father's Day, and he walked from one room into another, and he fell down, and he started shaking, and when I picked him up, or tried to pick him up, he was dead. And I was just a kid, and he was a drinker. And I thought, geez, you know, I would never do this. Never, never do this. And my sobriety date is July 5th of 1970. And in a couple of weeks, I'll have 22 years in the program. Well, that's nice. And I was reflecting on the fact that a couple of weeks before I came to AA, I had gone to a party with my wife. And it was Father's Day. And, well, actually the next day was Father's Day. It was a Sunday, and this was a Saturday night party. And I got my usual drunk and forced my wife in the car because she didn't want to drive with me going home. And on the way home, she jumped out of the car on the freeway. And I didn't know she was gone. The door started smacking back and forth, and I didn't know she was gone. And when I found out she was gone, I turned around and went back, and in that hazy state you can be in, to make a long story real, real short, somebody else had picked her up, taken her to the hospital. And the next day she was released, Father's Day, and she said she just assumed I wouldn't be there when she got home. And so my kids who had gone through, you know, as Father's Day stuff they do in school had made these gifts. And here I was going out the door, and these kids were trying to give me this stuff they had made in school. My one boy at the time was 9 years old, and my other son was 7. And it was like a real traumatic thing, and it hit me that that's exactly what I had gone through, you know, saying I would never, never do that. So, like, to be here tonight and to be all charged up, and then this week I got a chance to go see a gal in the program who I just love. And I saw two or three guys that I sponsor, and their kids graduated from high school, and I got a chance to go to the high school stuff. And God, the kids say the same crap now they did when I was getting out. We're the future, we'll change everything. And, but it was nice, because this gal is a single parent, and she raised these kids. And it was like this big emotional commitment she made to them. And these other guys, two of them had not lived with those children while they were being raised. They were separated and divorced, actually. And they were there, and like we all were crying. They started playing Pomp and Circumstance, and it wasn't like the deal of the night, you know. It was like real, real emotional for me. So I'm just real, real happy to be here. Now, the stuff that happened tonight was really great, right before here. The singers, the dancers. You know, you get a lot of sick people together, you get sick results, you know. like an advertisement for County Mental Health. If you want what we have, come here. And I was listening to the songs, and they all were great songs with great words. But, you know, I was reflecting again, like when I was out drinking. Those were not the songs I was dancing to. You know, I was dancing to songs like, I'm just 2 six-packs away from loving you. You know, like, you know. I used to kiss her on the lips, but it's all over now. You know? And then my personal favorite, throw a saddle on the stove, Mama, I'm riding the range tonight. So that's the kind of stuff, you know, I was doing. You know, Sterling, who's very, very sick but getting well, you know, that was good to see. People involved, people laughing, people having a good time. If I was a newcomer, that would attract me. You know, I wouldn't be attracted by someone who had a face look like a hemorrhoid. You know, you know, like, that would not be my personal attraction. And I don't know how. Sometimes I go to meetings and I hear people say these things, like, you know, they say things like, well, there's us in here, and there's normal people out there. Watch my lips. There are no normal people. None. Just folks that haven't shared with you. You know, like, and in this country, all you got to do is look around. You know, we live in a country where the guy who's leading in the presidential polls hasn't even announced yet. I mean, sometimes I wake up, I think, is this Guatemala? What happened here? You know, I spoke at a high school the other night. There was a sign in the gym that said, anyone caught hanging on the rim will be suspended. No kidding. Yo, wow. You know, like, oh, yeah, this is serious. You know? I flew over to Oklahoma. They got 2 airports in Oklahoma. One's called the Wally Post Airport, and the other one is called the Will Rogers Airport. They're both guys who died in plane crashes. Get serious, you know? You know? That's like having a Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, Big Bopper getaway weekend. You know, like, you know, like, yeah, woo! You know, is this amazing or what? You know, I got through school totally unscarred by education. And so, you know, like, so I know I'm not the brightest bulb in the room. And, you know, and I got sober with guys, and I hang out with guys. You say, how long are you sober? We go, and looking at the events of the past few weeks, some of them think they're vice presidential material. You know, like, yeah, let's do it. You know, let's get out there and do it. But those are the kind of guys I hang out with. They're real. You know, I took a guy a couple of months ago to get bowling trophies. These are the kind of guys I hang out with. And I took him to the trophy shop. And he walked in and he said, wow, Ken, is this guy good? No, Lewis, he makes these. Oh, yeah. And those guys can stay sober, you know why? Because when they read the big book, they read the big book. Is that an amazing thing? They read the big book. They don't imagine stuff. They don't project stuff. They don't analyze. They read what's in the big book. And the big book was written for guys like this. Really, guys like me. You know, it's kind of vague in areas. Like, you know, you can go into a bookstore today, pick up all kinds of paraphernalia relating to alcoholism. You know, more and more about less and less until you know absolutely nothing, you know? And the big book says it best. You know, it kind of sums it up. It's very specific. It says, when the alcoholic drinks, something happens. So the newcomer says, well, what if I'm an alcoholic and I drink? What will happen? Something. Let's keep it simple. You know? And when I drank, something always happened. You know? I'd like to tell you about a lot of it, but I don't remember it. You know? Had I known I was going to be held accountable to relay some of this stuff later on, I would have kept notes. And some of the stuff I remember most vividly never happened. So, you know? So what I know is a very narrow perspective. And it happens to be mine, you know? And it's like, this is good. You know, this is good. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I understood that something happened. A lot of times, I don't know about you guys, I would stop for one drink. Do you ever stop for one drink? Just one. I don't think so. You look like a last call kind of crowd, you know? You know? And I would go in and I would have one drink. And I would order a drink. And at one end of the bar would be this guy. And he'd be a nice guy. And he'd look like a nice human being. And I would send him down a drink because I just liked it. And at the other end of the bar was, you know, my kind of gal. You know, she had more, I guess, makeup on than a burn victim. You know, like a, you know. And she looked like she was in a hatchet fight and everybody had one but her. You know, like. And then I would make the incidental mistake of ordering a second drink. And somewhere in the course of the evening, I would be pounding on the guy who I liked with a nice face because he was coming on to the ugly gal who was now my date. You know, like, that's the way it happened with me. And it happened like that over and over and over and over again. So when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and they said, something happened, I understood that. I understood that. And I learned to listen here. Learned to listen here. Because what you think you hear isn't probably what you really heard. You know? Because you're hearing what the guy said and that's not what he really meant. So, you know, you got to listen. The best time to listen is when no one's talking. That's when you'll get the real best information. You know, it's like the guy who was 80 years old and he went in and he had a physical. And he went through the physical and the doctor looked at the results and he said, my God, he said, you got the body of a 50-year-old man. Must have been an alcoholic. He said, well, thank you, doctor. He said, I'm 80 years old. And the doctor says, my God, you've got the body of a 50-year-old man and the test results here of a 50-year-old man. So he went out to pay the nurse and paid her. And he said, excuse me, miss, how old do you think I am? She looked at him, looked at the test results and said, I'd say you're about 50 years old. He said, I'm 80 years old. She said, well, you sure don't look 80 years old. So he paid the bill and he's walking out the door and there's an 80-year-old woman sitting there. He walks over to her and he says, excuse me, miss, how old do you think I am? She said, come here. Walked over. She unzipped his fly. She put her hand in, left it in there for about 10 minutes, took it out and said, you're 80 years old. And he said, how did you know that? That's amazing. She said, I heard you tell the nurse. You know? So. So listen up. This way you'll know stuff in advance, you know? But that's one of the big reasons I love to come out and do these kind of things. And you've heard me say this before, is I love to hear people laugh. You know, I just love to hear people laugh. Peg said it well about, you know, it just kind of opens you up. Your thing here, enthusiasm, means God-filled. You know, that's the only thing I looked up before I came here. I thought, I was going to tell these guys. I told the guys in the group, they said, yeah, can you read it? You know, I'm going over there. Then I got here and you got a banner, so it's no, you know. But it means God-intoxicated, God-filled, enthusiastic. And that's what this is about. This is about getting God-filled. You know, today there seems like there's an awful lot of surface cottage industry real close to AA, pretending to be just like us, you know? It has nothing to do with us, but they pretend to be just like us. Things like creative suffering, you know? And when you stand back from that, and that's what AA is, it's standing back. As you're here longer, you'll realize that the picture that of life that exists is much broader than you ever thought. And what AA does, it's a fade-out shot. It pulls you back, and it's more and more and more and more panoramic as you go on. It encompasses everything. And you say, wow, that stuff was there all the time. I just didn't have the eyes to see it. Now I can see it. So the deal is that I was with this spiritual retreat master a couple of months ago, and he introduced me to a word that I love. I love it because in my group it's a big word. It's called ersatz. E-R-S-A-T-Z. Ersatz. And ersatz is all the stuff that is real close to AA. And ersatz means substitute. Not the real thing. Substitute. Replacement. And ersatz, in the spiritual sense, is anything that takes the place of God. Is ersatz. It's a substitute for God. People who want to get close to the fire but don't want to get burnt. And that's what happens in all this stuff. You watch people run around, and what they're involved in is a substitute instead of focusing on the one who has all power that our big book talks about. They want to get involved in all this other stuff. They want to water weeds, you know? A flower would scare the shit out of them, you know? Don't interfere. I may get help, you know? And the book says it real clear, even for guys like me. It says, there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. It doesn't say yesterday. It doesn't say tomorrow. It says right now. And no matter what went on, and I'm not trying to diminish people who were abused and all that kind of stuff badly as children, but no matter what happened to you, I don't care what it was. If you're in this room today and you're a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, it did you good. It got you here. It got you here, you know? And the only thing that will allow you to go forward in wellness and health is to forgive that stuff. Get rid of it. The book says it. I don't know what book people read. It says, we know that we were somewhat at fault, you know, in some of this stuff. The book says we look at where we were at fault, not where somebody else was at fault. And it talks about the actor. And what does the actor say? I know I'm somewhat at fault, but I'd rather blame them and them and them and them and them. And particularly that guy over there, you know. And they spend their whole life going around blaming people. You know, we have a good thing in our group. We say, roll up. Get a life. You know? These are guys who go... And some of them are from New York. They say, hey, yo, get a life. You know? And that's what it's about. It's moving on. It's moving on. And it's having some fun. And it's getting rid of my invention and getting back to God's creation. Not the me that I invented, the God that was created. You know, the guy who came into the world. And I love the way the book says it. It says like things like, you know, surely this must be the answer. Self-knowledge. That's what these folks think. But they don't read the next line.
But it was not. But it was not. You know, but it was not. You know?
You know? It just isn't that way. And it's about getting on with life. And that's what I see you guys doing here. And that's a real, real exciting thing for me. That's what I want to do. I want to live life. At the other night at the graduation, some little kid, 18-year-old kid, who hasn't even been out of the classroom yet, said, life is really all about not the time you get, but what you do with the time you have. And I said, wow, 18 years old? I didn't know that till I was 50. Don't you love it when somebody like that little, you know, it's like a newcomer telling the sponsor, read the book, you know? You know? You want to question his ancestry, but you know, he's right, you know? And that's what this is about. We have a book for $6 that gives us the answer. It states the problem, gives us the answer, and tells us how to go about doing that. Suggested steps, working the steps, taking the steps. I mean, I hear so much semantic crap anymore, I get confused myself. The only time I really get confused about the steps is when I go to a step study. You know?
Well, I heard at the center.
I just want to say this. In 1990 in San Diego, factual, we had 12 hospitals that had alcohol and drug recovery units. We now have 3. So if your recovery was based on their aftercare,
sure hope we have that insurance, honey.
Because you're in deep poo-poo. you know. And you watch them get into these intellectual arguments about nothing, you know. Thank God we don't do that in my group. Nobody has an intellect, you know. We're too busy doing stuff. Guy the other night, you know, he was talking about, you know, what he had to do. And, you know, the nice thing about our program is if you ever get confused about what you're supposed to do, you go work with another alcoholic. Is that simple? I mean, the book was written for us. This is all about loving God, finding God, loving everyone in God, and getting on and doing service. Service is the price you pay for being a human being and a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the rent. The rent is service. It's not about what's going to happen with your life. You're going to screw it up, I'll tell you in advance. You know? You're going to have your best ideas. Oh, it's a good one this time. You know? You know? You know? Selling hearing aids over the telephone. Oh, I'll make money now, you know? How about liver on a stick? Ooh, that sounds like a winner, you know? I mean, that's what you want people to do. So, to avoid that kind of conflict in your own personal life, we have you come to meetings, go do service, and as your little sign says here, AA is a way of life. It's not a way of stagnation. It's not a way of regression. It's not a way of giving up. It's a way of living life, getting on and living life. This is it, folks. This is not a dress rehearsal. A lot of people, you know, didn't make it today. The curtain came down on them. There's a lot of people who died this morning. They missed a hell of a show tonight. You know, they missed a nice day. And maybe some of them were saying, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't, maybe I'll go, maybe I'll... You're not going. You did. Took that decision right out of your hand, you know? And it's about getting involved and noticing everything. I notice everything now. I never noticed anything. I noticed the people on 2020 all wear glasses. You know? I'm like, ooh. I picked up a Sara Lee pound cake the other day. It weighs 10 and three-quarter ounces. You know? I just notice all this stuff, you know? You just pick up on it, you know? You're living life. You're noticing stuff. You know, I do very complicated things. When someone rings my doorbell, I go to the door. I don't want to scare the newcomer, you know? But I go, and when my phone rings, I pick it up. Is this amazing? I go down the road, and I get real excited because I see bumper stickers like, you know, friends of Bill W. I love that. I don't know whether they are a friend of Bill W. or they bought the car from an alcoholic or what. But I drive by and I feel better because I saw that sign. I go by and I look and I see if I know who they are. And if I don't, I say, oh, that's okay. They're probably newcomers. You know? Or they're trying to get sober. Whatever the deal is. And then I see other bumper stickers, which makes me appreciate friends of Bill W. You know, bumper stickers like, keep hunking, I'm reloading. You know? Like, oh, yeah. Oh. Just passing, you know. Yeah. I hunk like they're a friend. Beep, beep. Yeah. I mean, that's what's going on. And you know, sooner or later you come to the realization here that we all swim in the same water. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you look like, what your pigmentation is. We all swim in the same water here. And the idea is not to pollute the water we swim in. It's a real simple process. And it's not about figuring out what's wrong with the other guy. You know, you've got enough work at home. You know? Don't you love it when someone's trying to figure out what's wrong with her? I think it's you, you know? You know? That kind of a deal. And getting on with life. And having a good time and laughing. And you know, when you laugh, we know this now. This is factual stuff. I didn't come by this accidentally. This has took a lot of depth research. When you're laughing, you produce endorphins. And endorphins are real healthy for you. They help fight pain. They give you more oxygen. You'll live longer. 6-7 days, maybe. You know, like...
The data isn't in yet. I really just made that up.
But that's the deal. You know, you get out and you live. And now they find out endorphins, you know, the laughter that you do produces as much endorphins as sex and jogging. So if you can get a partner to go jogging with you and have sex and laugh, as Hans and Franz with their dead meat of a go, they're over here, you know? Got the little baby go humming over there, you know, like, that's the deal. You know, I came from an Italian neighborhood, and I picked up a lot of words in Italian. And Peggy was talking about painting. And there's a great word. It refers to the old painter, something that happened. Sometimes one of the old Italian painters would paint on a canvas, and he wouldn't like it for whatever reason. So he would paint over it. And the word they used is pentimento. Pentimento. It means the artist repents. He sees it differently and wants to do it differently. And that's what recovery is all about. The individual repents. We look at what we did isn't what we want. So now we get a chance to take whatever colors we want out of our little color box and paint. And we can make any color we want. We could make it all bright stuff. Or you can do dull stuff, you know, if that's where you're at. But it's your painting. And, you know, it's your deal. You know, and that's what life is. Life is an empty canvas, and you put on it what you want on it. And it has nothing to do with what the other folks are doing. It has to do with what you're doing. That's where the focus is. You know, the thing that sums up this whole program for me is, and this is when I think you're really free, happy, joyous, and free, is that no matter what the problem appears to be, if you can say to yourself, and hear yourself say this, this is a spiritual problem. This is a spiritual problem. It dresses up in a lot of different clothes, but the problem is spiritual. It's a malady I have. And when that spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. I don't know how many people I know today are running around trying to find an answer when the answer is right there. It's because the answer costs $6. You know? You know? I have people who are going to seminars on how to endure pain, you know? Yeah, I got it. I want to keep it, you know? I'll pay somebody $1,000 to find it, you know? I think I'm losing it, you know? And it's like, whoa. Why don't you just do this stuff? Why don't you just simply do this stuff? And then you get a chance to grow. And you get a chance to see things very different. I don't know how it is here in Nebraska, but there for a while, thank God it's changed. But denial used to be if you were happy, joyous, and free, you were in denial. You know? In our area, we call that recovery. You know? You know? People confuse denial with recovery. You know? Like, yeah. I'm a compulsive everything, you know. Oh, yeah. I'm like Al, you know, my logo would be excess is not enough. You know, let's get it out. Let's take it apart. Let's do it, you know. I was never one of those guys that was like, let's write about it, you know. Let's talk about it, you know. That's why I never did good in school. They have a thing in school called educationally ready, you know. Did you ever hear that term, educationally ready? That means that, you know, you study, and then the test is coming, and you're studying, and you're getting the information, and you're reading, and you're getting ready, and you're working. That was never me. I was running numbers, you know? I got educationally ready the day of the test. Give me your paper. Let me see what you've got. Yeah. What's the capital of New York? Oh, but yeah. I'm educationally ready now, you know? That's how I got educationally ready, right on the spot, right in the moment. You know, this preparation stuff wasn't my deal. And school was so confusing. They would have things like vowels, A, E, I, O, and U. A, E, I, O, and U. And sometimes, Y. How come sometimes? You either give it to me all the time or don't give it to me, you know? Did you ever sit there and hear that kind of stuff? What's the I, E rule, Mr. Devaney?
I don't know. E. That's the I, E rule. E.
And she'd say, I before E, except after C. Yeah, what happened to leisure and seizure, you know? That's the way I thought, you know? And then I would copy what somebody else said. She would say, we're going to do plurals today. And the kid in front of me was always bright kids. They put me in those Blue Jay groups, I think, you know? And she'd say, like, okay, give us a plural for the word ox, and then a sentence. And this little kid in front of me would say, oxen. The oxen are plowing the field. She'd say, Mr. Devaney, give me the plural for box. I'd say, boxen.
I went to the A&P and I picked up 2 boxes of donuts. You know? And I thought I did good because I used the same rule he used. Yeah, you know? And that's why I was always confused. I didn't know any of this stuff. I mean, I was hanging out with guys who say, did you get all the numbers? Not that, you know, how well are you doing in school, you know? Wasn't that kind of a way? And then I came here, and Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, when you're going somewhere on a journey, they have this thing now, you can get it through AAA, the other A. And it's called a triptych. And you just tell them where you're going, and they tell you what roads to take, and it tells you everything. And AA has not worked like that for me. I've learned the way on the way. You know? Day to day, I've learned the way on the way. And what I thought would work yesterday doesn't work today. And what I thought would never work is doing real, real good for me. And I got kids who keep me right in the moment, you know? I was up to visit my son who lives up in Seattle. He's now 31 years old. I got a little granddaughter. It's a trip, I'll tell you. And I said to him on his birthday, I said, you know, you're 31. It doesn't seem that long ago, you know. I was in my fatherly role. You were wet in the bed and just a little baby. He said, Dad, doesn't seem that long ago you were wet in the bed. You know, like, you know, like. And you feel like saying, thanks for sharing, you know. But, you know, wonderful things happened to me ever since I've been sober. A lot of times stuff was happening and I didn't know it was happening. I didn't know it was happening until after the event. I didn't know I was staying sober until I looked back and I had been sober. I was so busy doing stuff. As was mentioned here by all the other speakers, I came in at a time where there was a lot of active old-timers. And you know, you did things. It was like, in New York, we didn't call them 12 steps. We just didn't. I came from the neighborhood, they said, go put the hit on this guy, you know. We know what that meant, you know. Go put the hit on, Ken. So we take this little bozo to a meeting. You know, you have a big problem in your life, like, you know, you're not doing too well at home or you're worried about the job, and then you pick up some shake and bake, you know, and he feels nauseous. Suddenly, your problem isn't at home, you know. It's not the job. You know, it's like, oh, please, baby God, get me there. You know, don't let him do this to me tonight. You know, like, you know, the problem is altogether different. So it lets me know that it's all perceptional. It's not what's happening, it's what I think's happening. The book has a great thing in the back. I haven't heard it in a long time, but there's a thing called the medical view. And some of you may read that. It's right behind the spiritual stuff. And there's a quote there by a Dr. Bauer. Great quote about Alcoholics Anonymous. And he says it works because sometimes, I love that word, sometimes. These guys know exactly who they were dealing with. Sometimes it helps them avoid excessive concentration on themselves. I mean, excessive concentration. Ooh, that's my inner child. Woo! Just bursting to get free, you know. Yeah, I know how to slow them down. And the deal is that as soon as you can get away from that excessive concentration on self, you start to have gigantic periods of growth, of wellness. Because you're no longer looking at life from terms of what can I get out of it, but what can I put into it. You start taking people to meetings. You start doing very insignificant kind of acts that bring very significant results. When you're doing them, it's like, what has this got to do with me? No, you know, my wife has left me. My kids are gone. I'm going to jail. You want me to make coffee? You know what? I'm sorry, I'm missing it. You know, I'm reaching, I just don't see where it balances out, you know? And says, now you can clean up the ashtrays, too. Like, oh, wow, now I'm on a run, you know? Like, wow, you didn't tell me about the ashtrays. And what it is you're doing something else, which means you're getting out of God's way. And when I'm out of God's way, God can do his thing.
My God is such a gentleman that he never forces himself on me. He just stands there very patiently. You know, the book talks about this continually. It talks about when we become conscious of his presence, we lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. We're reborn. It doesn't say he's an absence and we have to go and get him. He's a presence. We're just unconscious to the presence. And when we become conscious, it's okay. And then in the 11th step, what do we pray for? Conscious contact. We already have unconscious contact. You know? Yeah, you mean he's there all the time? Yeah, he's there all the time. No kidding. That's a... Well, how do I make this conscious contact? Ooh, don't do the steps. Ooh, no. Don't get that close, you know? He may pop up without you asking, you know? But it's like, you do this very basic stuff. Did you ever see people, you know, you hear people come over to me all the time, and they say, Ken, you've heard this 100 times. You know, you seem so happy all the time. I don't know what you do, but my program isn't working. So I hand them a big book and say, try ours, you know? You know, ours works, you know? Stop doing all this other nonsense. It's like you're changing deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, you're running over here, you're running over there. You know? Rearranging the furniture doesn't throw anything out. You know, guys in my neighborhood know that. You can rearrange the furniture all you want. Put the couch here, the sofa there, you can do the whole... Hey, it's still the same stuff. You just got it in different places. The idea is to throw that stuff out. You don't want to develop a vested interest in your old ideas. Get rid of them. That's what this is about. Uncover, discover, you know, boom, get out of there. Discard, get rid of it. And then every now and again in AA, people were talking about heroes. You get to meet heroes every day. That's why I go to meetings. I get to hear some little bozo who 3 weeks ago couldn't do something, was afraid to attempt it, didn't want to even begin it, and now he's halfway through it. And I get to hear that he's halfway through it. And then he comes out the other side, and he's a much better person. He'll never be the same person again, because now he has the one thing that they can't give you anywhere, and that's experience. He now has experience on how to do something. And when you have experience, that's altogether different than having knowledge. You know, you can go to the library and pick up all the knowledge you want. You know, I got guys in my group, they can tell you very quickly the compound of water. H2O. They can break that down chemically for you. They can tell you what carries water. They can tell you where it comes from. But don't ask them to take a swig. You know? And I got other guys like Joe Jabops. You know, he gets up and says, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get some water. You know, he just walks over and takes it. These guys are dying of thirst. They know everything. Joe Jabob just knows it's over there. You know, I'll go get it. So you watch Joe Jabob go, he gets the water. He's not thirsty anymore. The other guy's still writing. You know, I'll call my sponsor, I'll inventory, I'll go to another seminar on water, you know. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy the freedom. I enjoy the freedom. I enjoy life to the point today, and someone said, I think it was Peg the other night, where you're just grateful. And you know, if you're having trouble, this is insider information, if you're having trouble finding God, you just try being grateful, and you will find yourself standing in the presence of God. If it's not the other way around. Some people think you find God, and then you get grateful. No. You get grateful, and then God is just, boom, he's there. You are aware of it. You have that conscious contact. Being grateful. Why ask for more if you don't appreciate what you have? You know, I don't have enough. What's enough? I don't know. When will you know? I don't know. You know, goes on and on and on. And on and on. And it's like people just don't know what's going on. And I got these guys that they're just having fun. They get up in the morning, they go to meetings. We get up right away, we go screw something up. You know, you don't want to lose your skills. You know, like go do something first thing in the morning. You know, I'm at a stage in life, I go in the living room, I forget why I'm there. Oh, sure, you can laugh. Particularly the ones under 30, you know, like, oh, I'll never get there. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. And that's the way life is. And I do all these nice things with nice people. I have a birthday coming up, and the guys are talking about what we're going to do and what they're planning and all this stuff. And you know the funny part of it? They think they're doing this stuff and that they're benefiting from it. And you know what? Just to be with them is enough. Just to go for coffee is enough. We don't have to talk about anything because we already have opened the door to everything. We don't have to pinpoint anything. We just have real, real simple conversations. And it's not what the person says, it's what they leave out. You just know what's going on. We have a language all our own. No wonder the newcomer gets confused. Newcomer comes in and says, like, you know, how do you win here? Oh, that's simple. You surrender. Oh, thanks. You know? Well, how do you keep this stuff? Oh, you give it away, you know? Oh, I'm on a roll now, you know? Right? Ken, what do you do when you feel procrastination coming on? Hey, I put it off, you know? That's just the way I handle it. You know? I don't bother with it. Guy said the other day, Ken, you have trouble making decisions? Yeah, sometimes yes, sometimes no, you know? All alcoholics are punt returners. All alcoholics are punt returners. We like that moment of, you know, that guts call in the camera's eye. Now, you watch the difference between an old-timer and a newcomer is real simple. The ball goes up in the air. The newcomer is 10 yards deep in the end zone, and something tells him, yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because he doesn't remember what it's like to get hit. His little Tweety Bird mind is going, the glory, the glory, the glory. So he takes it and runs and dashes and avoids and gets out to the 2-yard line where somebody really puts his socks in his ears, you know? And then you watch the same punt go up in the air, only this time the punt returner is an old-timer, and we yell fair catch. We're not taking that hit. We know what it is to be hurt, you know? And then we just catch it very gently, bring it out to the 20. Then you give it to a newcomer. Your turn, son. I got it this far. Gave you the easy 80. But that's what this is about. It's about having some fun and doing this stuff and getting on with life. You know, it's not about avoiding life, it's living life. Everything about this program is life. God is life. Everything about it is life. Service is life. You know, we pray for things. There's a chapter in here, a vision for you. It's not a dream for you. It's a vision for you. The difference between a vision and a dream is that in a dream, you get to work on reality. But in a vision, reality gets to work on you. In a dream, you can fly, you know. You're sexy. You do all this stuff. You know what kind of dreams I mean. No? One of my guys the other day said he rented a porno film and he ran it backwards just to see the hooker give the money back. You know what? Don't you love these guys? I mean, they just come in and they can't wait to tell you that. and you're just so excited for them, you know? You know they have a few bulbs out on their marquee and they know it, and like, and you're having fun. It's not like the focus is there. You know, some guy said the other day he started into all this lingo about the family he came from, and I mean, it was like watching somebody really milk a mouse, you know. So I told him, I said, you know, before you talk to me again, would you do me a favor? Would you go to the library and check out a book? He said, sure. What book? I said, Huckleberry Finn. He said, why? I said, Huckleberry Finn came from one of those families. He had an alcoholic father. And you know what? He lived a great life. He became better for all that stuff. He lived by his wild. He just enjoyed life. And at a time when somebody wasn't inclined in his area to help a slave, he helped a slave. He had good stuff in him. And it was brought out by the fact that all this horrendous stuff was going on around him. He became stronger. He didn't become weaker. He's not damaged. He's God-filled. There's a big difference. Stuff doesn't come off the line. Oh, damage, damage, damage. I mean, sometimes I think God's making real shit when I go to some of these meetings. I mean, it's like, you know, excuse my French, but I get tired of hearing that. But you don't understand. And you know what, Toots? I never will. I just never will. You know? Grow up. You're here, you're sober, you're alive, you're in the game. Be grateful for that and get going on with it. Don't keep turning your head backwards. You're going to get a crink in your neck, you know? The game is right here. Get on with it. And come to some of our meetings where we have people, you know, collectively we've got an IQ of 11, you know? You know, come to some of those meetings and just read the book. Take the steps that are suggested. Read some of the literature of our history. Some of the stuff that you're going through has already been gone through. If you read the literature, you'll see we've already done this. You're trying to reinvent the wheel. We've already done that. Now it's time to go on to something else. And I just love to go to these kind of meetings where you folks are all involved. I know you're sick. You know you're sick. You know? And I'm sick. But not sick in the sense that I'm damaged. I'm sick in the sense that I sometimes look at life through eyes that are myopic, you know? I have a vein that sometimes runs down to my butt. It gives me a different outlook on life. You know, like, and then I come to a meeting and you just sever it. You know, it's okay, Ken, don't worry, we got it right here. And we sever it, and we go on. And it's not about focusing on our holes, it's focusing on our wholeness. Our wholeness, our whole being. Yet thank God we have these things that are somewhat wrong with us, because that gives us something to be in tune with other human beings. I don't know about you guys, but the longer I'm here, I see more about me than I say, oh my God, I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know anything relating to that. And then when some guy comes and shares with me that he feels that way about himself or herself, I have a lot more understanding for it. I have a lot more understanding because I can say, hey, I thought that way. I felt that way. How many of you in this room tonight have been on a 12-step call with your sponsor? Okay, take a look at the hands. Just take a look. I'm not to embarrass anybody, but I bet it's not even 10%, 15%, if that. Maybe 20. And you guys are probably doing better than most. No wonder sometimes people don't wonder what it's all about. I've been on a 12-step call with my sponsor. That was my first job in AA. Bedroom observer. You know? He'd call me and say, come on, Ken, we got to put the hit on this guy. So I'm watching TV. He said, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. So he'd show up and we go put the hit on this guy. And we knocked at the door and it was always the same. You know, some gal would answer the door, pre-Al-Anon, you know. Like... There's a world out there. Now, wait a second. I'm saying pre-Al-Anon. Don't hang me yet. And we'd knock on the door. She'd say, who are you? And we'd say, well, the guy's from AA. And she always said the same thing. It's upstairs. So we'd go up to check it out. And it always looked just like one of us, you know? And I got to see my sponsor. The first thing he would say is, go sit in the corner. And I'd go sit in the corner, and then he'd pull a chair up next to the bed. And he'd sit there, and he'd start telling the guy about himself. This is what's mentioned today. And then he'd go into a little bit about AA. And within a very short period of time, in actuality, I'd get a chance to see the real miracle of AA. One alcoholic with no profit motive going on a 12-step call and delivering the message of recovery to another alcoholic. And within a few minutes, the bed would stop shaking. And then a few minutes more, you'd start to hear the guy say, yeah, I felt that way. Yeah, I've done that. Yes, I've been there. And then, like Lazarus, if not that night, the next night or the next day, that guy would rise up and come with us to a meeting. And he would commence the process of recovery. Not the process of denial, but the process of recovery. In fact, if you read our book, it talks about being recovered. It's not always a recovery, it's recovered. You know, we've recovered from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. We are recovered alcoholics. We have recovered and been given the power to help others. It's about getting well here, folks. It's not about perpetually trying to figure out what's wrong with you. You know, you can do that forever. That'd make a hell of a headstone. Spent his whole life trying to figure out how sick he was, you know? Oh, yeah, that's what I want on my stoom, you know, like, yeah, right next to dead, you know. And then I would see this guy within a very short period of time doing the same thing that I would do. He'd be carrying the message to somebody else, and he'd be showing up at meetings. And you know, there's a continuity in my sobriety that's uninterrupted, and it's the continuity of sponsorship, it's the continuity of attending meetings, it's the continuity of growth, it's the continuity of reading the big book, it's the continuity of working the steps, it's the continuity of recognizing a power greater than myself on a daily basis. That's the continuity of my recovery. In a couple of weeks, as I say, when I take my token, it will be given to me by a guy who was at my first meeting back east. And now he's my neighbor in California. Just one of those deals. Bang shot. God does just to show off. And you thought it was this. And then there's a fellow there who made the 12-step call on my sponsor, and he'll be there. And we'll, maybe 120, 150 of us will go out to dinner. And there'll be people there that I sponsor, and they'll bring along guys that they sponsor, and they'll bring along guys that they sponsor. And believe me, don't misinterpret what I'm saying. This has absolutely nothing to do with Ken Devaney. This has to do with one sober alcoholic being involved with other sober alcoholics. It's not about the personality, it's the principle. It's the principle of the thing. And I get to be part of this every day. I get to do exciting things. I go to ball games. We play cards, and if you lose them, we give you good cards. You know? newcomers don't understand that. You know, we play four or five hands, and if a newcomer, because he can't play, loses, then we kind of mix and match the cards. What do you got, an ace? Give him an ace. You got a king, you give him a king. And, you know? It's not about winning. It's about playing. It's about enjoying. It's about being together. We bowl. Some of us can't bowl. Some of us can't play volleyball. Now it's volleyball season. But we all go out and do this stuff. And we do it together. And while you're doing that stuff, the pressure isn't on you about,
well, how's it going with you today, Joe?
You're playing, and Joe will calmly say, I think she's leaving. And you go, oh. And somehow the dialogue starts, and it doesn't finish there, and the door is open, and you say to the new guys, a lot of new guys who come in there, they want to look good, and they're just so afraid of being touched. And what I say to every newcomer, and I hope they hear it real clear if you're in this room tonight, just like the body needs food, the soul needs love. The soul will wither up and die without love. And that's the great thing of AA. That's the healing power of AA. We bring love to people who seem to have trouble loving themselves. Not in a narcissistic kind of way. We say, come on in, we got a seat for you. This is good. We're doing this stuff. And we're not drinking. And they're just like you. And they start to laugh after a while. Not in the beginning, all of them. Then we say funny things to them, like, this is a spiritual meeting. Is that chair saved? And they'll go, no, but we're working on it. You know? And then, like, you have your little sign in the back there that Sherry made. Be a verb. We got T-shirts with that on. Be a verb. Leap before you look. You know? By the time you look, you could have tried it, you know? Take a risk once in a while. You know? Do something different. Drive the wrong way to work. Not the wrong highway, but, you know, try another way. Do things differently. Add some spice to your life. Don't make slipper vision the focus of your life.
Well, it's Tuesday night, and Tuesday night I can't go to meetings because this program is on.
Turn off the slip of vision. Get out there and pretend like you're alive, you know? Get a life, you know? And don't buy books that are confusing to you. You know, don't do that. Get the big book and read it. I know it's tough. I know they hide stuff in there like, ooh, I wonder how it works. Ooh, let's see if there's anything in here relating to that. Ooh. What do you say we jump on this, how it works? Might find something, you know? Ken, is there a solution? Ooh, let's see. I don't know if it's in here. Let's see if we can find it, you know? I'm having trouble with God. Ooh, I wonder where we'd find that. Ooh. You know, in my neighborhood, there's an Italian saying. And the word is ugas. And ugatz means less than nothing. And when you're running around doing all the stuff that most people are doing, you're getting less than nothing results. And if you start doing the things that are suggested in the big book and start working with other people and start enjoying the things that are going on in your own life. You know, I lost my job. Oh, good, there's a better one. You know? Instead of saying like, well, that's it, I might as well just lay down and get run over. That's the end of it for me. Not only a flat last week, but a battery not working this week. You know, I've been a gambler all my life. Could be I'm a big loser in the next couple of months, but I've been a gambler all my life. And there has to be something in your life for you to have a life, I believe, that you have to be willing to put everything on the table for. Just one thing. You have to put everything on the table for. And hopefully if you're an alcoholic, sobriety is that one thing. That you're willing to give up whatever is ersatz. Whatever is becoming the substitute. Whether it's a he or a she, whether it's a job, whether it's doing whatever. You have to be able to give it up. Guys in my group now use ersatz for BS, you know. They think it's a cute word now. So if somebody's really going off on a bunch of junk, they'll say, sounds like ersatz, Ken. You know? And the newcomer says, what's that? You'll find out. Keep coming back. It's an insider word, you know. I'm going to wind up because I know you got all kinds of stuff going on and I need the rest. But I have a friend, he's deceased now. He couldn't get sober and he ended up taking his own life. And he was from India, and whenever he came into my house, he would put his hands together, and he would say Namaste to him. And when he left, he would put his hands together and say Namaste to him. And Namaste, literally translated, means the God in me recognizes the God in you. And although we may have a lot of surface differences, I think it's totally impossible, but I might have even said something to offend you tonight. It wasn't intentional, it's just what I said. You probably heard it incorrectly. But save your amends, it's all taken care of. But the God in me does recognize the God in you. I was in a situation a couple of months ago, and I had to do a deposition. And it was the darndest thing. If I had said something a certain way, I had a chance criminally to recover some money. But if I said it the way it should be said, I'd lose a lot of money. And I sat at home and I went through this unbelievable process of fear as to how I was going to say the lie and then be able to live with it. You know? And I went through this process. And finally, being a little whiner, I called my sponsor. And, you know, this man has a way of saying the right thing at the right time. I guess that's why he's my sponsor. And he just said, when you got here, you had nothing. And you stayed awake a lot of nights because you didn't even have a clear conscience. He said, if you end up with nothing again, but a clear conscience, you'll have a soft pillow. And he hung up the phone. And that was the end of that. For him, you know? So I was in this room with these lawyers, and we got to this point. And it just went right. It just went right. And I came home and I called him and I told him that. And he said, I never had any fear about it. You know, I never had any. I said, well, you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din, because I had some fear about it. But you know, I'm at a point in my life now, and I say this with all the honesty I can muster. I'm at a point in my life now that if you took whatever it is in any phase of my life that I have, and you were to leave me my sobriety with the God I have right now built into it, I have a starting point. It would be a little inconvenient. It would be a lot of things that I maybe wouldn't want to do, but it would be the idea that it would be okay. It would just be okay. And I have the experience of having that now over a lot of years. So if you're new and you're sitting here tonight and you're totally confused, you're definitely in the right place. And if you think that you do one turning point and then you get a roller coaster ride the rest of the way, talk to your sponsor. You know? But I'll tell you this also, that there's absolutely nothing you have to be afraid of. Because the fear that you're generating is nothing but ersatz. It's stuff that's getting between you and God. And if you can say to yourself, with all humility and honesty, I don't know the answer, I don't know how any of this is going to come out, but God keep me sober and stay in my life, and you'll be okay. It's just that simple. I want to thank you for letting me come here tonight. I've enjoyed you very much. I've enjoyed this weekend immensely. It's always nice, as was said, to meet new friends and to see old friends. I'm going to have a good Father's Day. I've been in contact with my kids before I left, and I'll visit with one when I get back, and I visited with the other one before I left. They're healthy kids. They're living life. We went out for my son's birthday, and one ordered a vodka martini, and the other one ordered a gin martini. And then after that, they ordered iced tea. I felt the same way. But I had a chance when I divorced a number of years back in 81 to raise these youngsters as a single parent for a while. And God does have a great sense of humor, because when I initially got sober, I was separated from my family for almost 18 months. We lived apart because it was just better that way. And then my wife decided to go in another direction, and I had a chance to raise these kids at home. And we developed a friendship that's just unbelievable. They knew I knew nothing about really parenting full time. And so they helped me. You know, they would say, if you really love us, you'd get pizza. You know, like that. My son came home with a C. He was a BAAB student, and he came home with an interim report of a C. And I just said, oh, a C. And he said, what do you expect? I come from a broken home. You know? And now that kid on the 18th of July will be opening in the play, a play up in Whittier Theater, where he'll be a dancer, tap dancer, and singer, and he's got the lead, and anything goes. And my other son, you know, he's just going along doing life. And when I'm with both of them, they're just so funny, because the one who's in theater and single will say, I'm so happy that Kenny is doing what he's doing. He seems so happy, but sure isn't me. And then when I'm with Kenny, he'll say, boy, I'm sure glad Keith is in theater doing what he does, but sure isn't me. And you know, that's what it's about. It isn't you, so do what you can do. And whatever you do, you know, just stay in touch with another alcoholic, and you're going to be okay. When I got sober in New York, we used to give out tie tacks, and they were in the form of a triangle. Still do? Two. And they had these deals, and they gave you a tie tack. And on this tie tack, it had the AA logo, triangle. And in the middle was a dot. And at each end of the apex of the triangle, it had AA. And at the top, it had G for God. And they used to give you this thing, and they say, you're the dot in the middle. And if you keep one hand in God and one hand in AA, you won't have any hands to pick up a drink. And it's just that simple. That's a very basic thing. Take real good care of one another. I love you very much. God bless you. Thank you.